Very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Daf Tes. Nedarim 9a. Pagination is 17, starting from the Mishnah at the top of the page. We have a concept which comes up in different areas that even though Nedarim vows are indeed part of Torah, and one could make a vow and could make a commitment to do something or not to do something, a person can make a vow to give charity. We generally frown on people who make such commitments. And one of the big reasons that we frown on it is because we are human and we are afraid that for whatever reason, the person will not be able to fulfill his commitment, which will result in a very, very serious violation. Vows are considered extremely serious. A person is going ahead and voluntarily forbidding or committing himself to something that the Torah did not require, and he needs to do what he said he would do, either in restraint or in positive activity, and not to do that is considered very serious. In addition, when it comes to vows similar to the Nazir, who's refraining from wine, for example, we have another concept, which is mentioned on the next daf, daf Yud, and is brought by the Mefarshim of Tamei HaMitzvahs, the Chinuch, for example, that a person can very well be a chote, a sinner, by depriving himself of something that the Torah said was permitted. We have a general rule that the Torah is going to require of us whatever it is that we're truly required, and a person who forbids more could very well be forbidding yoser midai, more than is proper. And that's another reason that we do not recommend vows. We find, therefore, that this was considered so serious that one form of yados nedarim, one form of saying something where you didn't say it clearly, but we know exactly what you meant, was to say, as the Mishnah begins, Kenidre Rishaim, that he's making the vow of the wicked. There was such an expression. If you look at the Ran, on the second line, Mefarshinon B'Gemara, the Gemara explains the Hachi Kamar that this is what this case is. Omar Kenidre Rishaim Hareini. A person says, I should be like the vow of the wicked. And it was understood, even in the way he's talking, even though he's the one who's making this commitment, that we frown on such vows, and it's considered the wicked who do the vows. Not wicked in the sense of going to Gehenna because he's a wicked person, but it was wicked type activity. It was non-recommended behavior to be frivolous with one's mouth and make a vow. You want to do something, do it. What are you making a vow for? And this was considered a yad l'nedarim, a statement of a vow, even though you didn't fully articulate it, if haya nazir over lefanov, if a nazir was walking in front of him when he said these words, kenidre rishaim hareini, I shall be like the vows of the wicked ones, it would be binding. Harez and Nazir. He's considered a Nazir. It's just such a fascinating thing that the person himself, we think black and white. Well, if it's wicked, so why would you do it? But he's acknowledging that the rabbis were against such vows, but he feels that it's appropriate, or for whatever reason, he's making this vow of Nazir, he's taking it upon himself. As I mentioned, one of the reasons that we're very reluctant to have vows is because we're worried that it'll be very hard for the person to fulfill it. We also have another perspective on Amud Beis, which gives us insight as to when it would be appropriate to make such a vow. We're about 12 lines from the top. The first word on the line, Detanya, as we learned. Omar Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik said, now he was a Kohen, and he would typically be eligible to eat from the Karbanos that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. He's living in the second Beis HaMikdash, in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. And he said, Mi yomai lo achalti asham nazir tamei. I never ate from the sin offering of a Nazir who became tamei. One of the things a Nazir is not allowed to do is become tamei to a dead body. If he did, then he's going to have to bring special karbanos and he's going to have to start his count again. So if his goal was a 30-day Nazirus, and on day 18, for example, he became tamei, he's going to have to reboot, if you will. Start it again from the beginning. Shimon HaTzadik said, I generally would not eat from such a sin offering. As we'll see at the end of the Gemara, there was a reason for his reluctance. Ela Echod, there was one time that I was willing to. Pam achas, one time, ba'adam echod nazim min adorum, there was a Nazir who came from the south, Vera'isiv, and I saw him, Shu Yafa Einayim. He was of pleasant appearance, his eyes, Vitov Roi, he was handsome. Ukuvutsosav Siduros Lo Taltalim, the locks of his hair were arranged in curls. He was a very attractive person. Amarti Lo, I said to him, Benima Ra'isa Lashchas Esayrech Zehanoe. Why did you decide to destroy your hair that is so presentable, so attractive? Let's realize that the concept of Nazir was twofold, as the Mefarshim explain. Number one, he was letting his hair go unkempt, so that was one level, which worked for some people. And then there was a second level of shaving it off during the process at the conclusion of the count. So that shaving it off and burning it in the fire that the carbon was being cooked, that was certainly an act that went against the attractiveness of the hair. Amar Li, and he answered me, Roa Yisi La'aba, I was a shepherd for my father, Be'iri, in my city, halachti lemalos mayim and amayin. It once happened that I went to fill up water. Finistakalti bevoa shali. I saw my reflection in the water. Apochaz ala yitzri, and my yetzer hara, my evil inclination, became very active. Obikish letardeni mina olam, and it wanted to destroy me from the world. Now, generally, people say it means to destroy him from the world to come. That's true. But quite frankly, it's to destroy him from this world also. If he's going to go after his attractiveness, and he's going to go to town, and he's going to become the person involved in his attractiveness and where it's going to take him, even in this world, it's not going to take him to a good place. Amartilo, he says to himself, like third person, like his own coach, Rasha, wicked one, Lamata miskar ba'olam she'eno shalach. Why are you being so haughty on a world that's not yours? This world is very temporary, and you could score big because of your attractiveness, but scoring big in what? In something, b'mishu osed liyos rima v'soleya, that's going to end up decomposing. Ho'avoda, he made an oath, Sha'al galchich la'shamayim, I'm going to shave off the hair that makes me so attractive, and I'm going to do it for heaven. Miyad amadati v'neshaktiv al rosho, Shimon HaTzadik says, I immediately got up and I kissed him on the head. What's the miyad? Immediately? Perhaps that's an example of good impulsivity. People are impulsive sometimes, but sometimes it's a good impulsive. It's a moment of inspiration. And Shimon HaTzadik reflected this man's greatness. Amarti lo, I said to him, Bini kamocha yirbu nozer nezirus b'Yisrael. This is the appropriate type of nezirus. Alecha akasav omer, about you, the pasuk said, Ish kiyafli lindar neder nozer lahazir lashem. A person who will do this type of vow to be a nazir, Lashem. The Mefarshim say, Lashem Shamayim, to do it for the right reasons. Possibly the word kiyafli, the word pele, is also part of the intent over here, that you're listening to an accounting of an event that was wondrous, that was a moment of greatness, where he is saying about himself that he could have gone in the wrong direction, and at that moment he used Nazirus to, for the sake of heaven, keep himself in a good place. The Gemara continues and tells us that Shimon HaTzadik's reluctance to eat from the carbon of a Nazir, particularly that he became Tamei, is because a person may altruistically vow to become a Nazir, but if he ends up becoming Tamei, he gets it undone. He was able to handle 30 days, but now he counted part, and now he's got to do it again, and he ends up, by the time he gets it right, with many more days than he intended. If he doesn't ask a Talmud Chacham to undo his vow, so his vow remains in force. But Shimon HaTzadik was pointing out that he's in a place where he could have asked to have his vow annulled, because he didn't realize that it's going to be so hard, that it's going to have to keep going back to a recount if he doesn't fulfill the full duration of time without becoming Tamei. By extension, not only a person who is bringing the carbon because he came Tamei, but if he became Tamei, and even now he finally got it right and is bringing the Tahar carbon, but he was in a position where he could have undone the entire Neder. And therefore, from this entire event, Shimon HaTzadik presumably would have objection and reluctance, with the exception of this special person who quite clearly was deeply committed, and even with a setback of Tumah and having to start the count again, he was not deterred and he had no regrets. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.